Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, there's a few things. First of all, if you look at the clip art I have here at the beginning, I found one that was a mother hen that had all its chicks underneath. And, of course, you know, I couldn't get it to print. You know. So I thought an angel with the wings was pretty good for today, too. If you notice, my sermon is called Many Are Called, But Few Are Chosen to Serve Heaven. Now, that's from an actual different scriptural verse, but I thought it was important today because it ties in with both our gospel lesson and our epistle lesson. So, the days are evil. Boy, if that's not true, isn't it? St. Paul wrote this to the Ephesians, but I think he could have been writing it about Putin and what's going on in today's world, too. Well, they sure are. The world is still a dark place, and it's growing darker. But you have been called out of darkness to the marvelous light of Jesus Christ. Not that you've been brought out in the world yet, but you've been made citizens of God's nation. And that's not America, but it's the Holy Catholic Church. You are now in the world, but you're not of the world. The darkness that is around you cannot touch you, cannot consume you, because God has called you into the well-lit wedding of His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, we're going to do that wedding allusion a little bit today, because as I got into this, I thought about that parable, and we'll talk about that. Many are called, but few are chosen. What the heck does that even mean? You know, what's the difference between being called and being chosen? Well, what about a difference between being called and elect? Okay? Now, we've heard of the doctrine of election. In fact, one of our Protestant brothers had some very interesting thoughts on that. That's John Calvin, who was a priest out of Geneva, Switzerland. And we'll talk about him in a little bit. But we've heard about that doctrine of election. It's in the Bible. But in Greek, the word for election and the word for chosen is the same thing. So in Greek, there's no difference between the two. Well, the doctrine of election, if you don't know it, relates to the people who have been chosen to spend eternity with Jesus Christ in heaven with the Father. Okay, that's what the doctrine of election stands for. Problem with that concept is not everyone has the same chance to get into heaven. John Calvin, here's what I'm going to talk about. His understanding of this doctrine led him to say the doctrine of election includes those who are predestined for heaven and those who are predestined for hell. So no matter what you do, you're either going up or you're going down. I don't know about you, but I have a little bit of a problem with that because Scripture says all you have to do is ask for forgiveness, right? Well, as Ricky Ricardo would say, Lucy, I don't think this is how this is supposed to work. Now, I mentioned that idea of the wedding between Jesus and His bride, which is the church. So, Jesus uses that parable of the wedding feast of the king for His Son to explain a lot of different concepts. You know, I think we've all heard this parable. The king has a wedding feast for His Son, and he invites all the important people to come to the feast. And none of them show up. So the king sends out messengers to remind them, hey, you're supposed to be here today. And so these people end up killing all the messengers. Ooh. King Little kicked off. So he sends these armies, kills all the elites, destroys all the cities of these ungrateful people. This was taught by Jesus? Yes, and there's a reason for it. So how should we understand this parable in light of our message today? Good question, isn't it? Many are called, you were chosen. You know, I don't think the actual parable is hard to understand. A king arranges that marriage for his son. In our, I think, understanding of this today, the king's God the Father. In eternity, before the foundation of the world is laid, he arranges this for his son, because the son is eternal, Holy Spirit is eternal. He decreed that he would send his son into the world to shed his blood, to redeem the fallen mankind from sin, death, and the power of the devil, and would reunite his son to the bride, which is the church. That's us. Okay. He carried through with that decree, and now Christ, by his holy life and sacrificial death on the cross, has earned salvation for mankind. Well, I could buy that in this parable. Do you see it too? Okay, but God the Father also decreed how he would bring fallen mankind into this. So, he decided to invite them. See where this is going now? To call them by the gospel promise of the coming Messiah. Throughout the Old Testament, God invited people to this great wedding between Jesus and his church. So over time, God used Moses to narrow this down. If I can just get the Jews to do this, that would be good. So the people of Israel, so that they, before anyone else, would be ready for the coming of the Messiah, for the coming of Jesus Christ. So that when he arrived, they would be the first to come and meet him, to come to the wedding feast and be saved. Then Christ came. The wedding was ready. The feast was ready. The word went out from John the Baptist, prepare the way of the Lord. It came from the apostles, from Jesus himself. Word would keep on going out after Jesus' death and resurrection. Y'all come. So, all things were ready. Come to the feast. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. But since most of the Jews, God's chosen people, refused to come, they refused to be baptized and come to God through the reconciliation made by Jesus. So the king sent out other messengers, other apostles. But still, the people on the whole refused to come. Oh, I'm too busy. Oh, I don't care about that stuff. Who's Jesus again? While others got so angry, how dare you tell me this is what I need to do? They mistreated him, put him to death. Remember the first apostle, the first martyr was Stephen, who was stoned because he was teaching about Jesus. Don't you think this is still the reaction that most people have about the gospel? Stop and think about that. When have you heard the gospel talked about in the news or in popular media in a positive light to the public? I mean, they're small groups. You know, we've talked about Christianity being under attack right now. If you're Muslim or Jewish, you're not under attack. It's Christianity. Why? Because that's one of the first things you got to do to get up, become a socialist country, is to get rid of God. Okay. You know, it doesn't do us any good to think about people or worry about people who reject the gospel. It does us no good to wring our hands when the gospel of Christ goes out and not many come to the church. Not many listen. And it certainly doesn't do us any good to get angry when Christians are persecuted or killed. I had to think about that one for a long time. Do I put that down? Because remember when the Christians had their heads cut off, the Nestorian Christians in the Middle East? I mean, they're not the same type of Christian we are. But what was the word that was on their voice coming out of their mouth when their heads were cut off? Jesus. And they're the ones that downplayed the second person of the Trinity. Folks, that's just the way it is in an evil world. That's why we were called out of it in the first place to the wedding feast of Christ. Here's salvation. Y'all come. It's free. And you get a free meal with it, too. Sounds like a potluck, doesn't it? Why? So that we may not die, perish with the unbelieving world. So instead of us getting angry with it, let God get angry with it. Does he? You bet he does. As Jesus says in the parable, the king was furious when the invited guests turned down his invitation. And those people even killed the servants who did the inviting. So let God do something about it. As Jesus says in the parable, that the king sent out his armies, destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city. As I said, God was ticked. But those armies are not Christians. Those are angel armies that will gather the wicked on the last day and throw them into the fires of hell. You know, as for us, let us continue to simply be messengers of the gospel. You know, we hear this kind of thing. This is not fire and brimstone. Because where are y'all right now? Here. Okay, that's not for you. But you've known evil people in your lives, right? And God doesn't want to do that, but God wants us all to be with him. So, though the gospel that has gone out in the world through God's servants who proclaim it, the king invites many more people. As the parable says, go into the highways, and as many as you find, invite to the wedding. Come to the feast. Come and dine with the king in his house. Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. And many have come, including many of the least important people in the world. Remember, I've told you before, Christianity is not a religion of the elite. Christianity is a religion of the slaves. Came from the bottom of society. Why? Because he's here for all of us, not just certain people. And I think that's what this parable tells us, too. Because when the elite wouldn't come, God deals with them and then turns around and comes to us. Says, y'all come. Because the worthiness to come to this feast does not just simply go to the people who are invited, but from the bridegroom. It comes from Jesus. And Jesus says, y'all come. All y'all. So as long as we go to those baptismal waters and we're baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, it covers all of his guests with a garment. Remember, we receive that square material, the garment. Why? Because it is a visual representation of the grace we receive in baptism. But what about those people that call themselves Christian but don't act? How many times have you seen in church? The guy comes in, puts the biggest amount in the collection plate. And he sings the loudest, and he prays the loudest. And on Monday, he's a businessman, goes out and treats his neighbor badly, cheats him, steals his money. Is he a Christian? No. Well, he may be able to hide that from his fellow parishioners, but can he hide it from God? Of course not. God knows those who are here are his. And that's right out of that parable again. All right, so when God comes on the last day, that Christian in name only is bound and cast outside into the outer darkness. even though he calls himself a Christian, but he's treated as the same ones, same way that the ones who didn't come to the feast are treated. So now we're at, the apex of this discussion. Many are called, but few are chosen. You know, that comes from this parable. The Jews boasted that they had been called. We're Abraham's children, they cried. God has called us. And to be called by God into his kingdom is indeed, I think, a great gift. No one can be called, saved, without being called by the gospel. Right? All right? I cannot, by my own reason or faith, come to my Lord Jesus. But I have been called by the Holy Spirit through the gospel. I mean, when we boil it down to that, without the Holy Spirit and without the gospel, we can't be saved. But there's those who stubbornly resist it. And I think it's sad. So, not all are called, who are called, are chosen for eternal life with Jesus in heaven. But think about this for a second. If you're called and chosen, does that mean you're preordained for that? No. You're part of the elect. Can you reject that even as a Christian? Sure, you can lose your baptismal grace. But what do you do to get it back? God, forgive me. So what do we learn from this parable? We learn that God's invitation to come into his church and his eternal kingdom does not depend on the worthiness of his guests. It doesn't depend on our worth. As Ephesians 2, 5 and 6 said, it is not by works you have been saved, but grace through faith. You know, without God's grace, we're lost. But grace is free. It's always there. So the arrows always come from God to us. We can't do anything to earn that. The arrows are not going to come from us to God. And you think God wants us? Well, of course he does. If we would just come to him and ask for forgiveness. Lord, I screwed up. Have we ever done that before? Not a single one of us sitting here can say that I haven't. You know, but for many people, that's just too easy. Well, unless I earn it, it doesn't mean anything. Which way are those arrows going? From God to us or from us to God? Us to God. Is salvation supposed to be difficult? Is it? No. It's difficult when we feel we have to earn it, not when Jesus earned it for us on that cross. Remember, the word to redeem means to pay for something. So when Jesus went to the cross, he took all our sin, all our evil, and he did the ultimate payment for it. Through his holy sacred blood, not with gold or silver. Okay, that's what the Bible says. So when we start looking at what Jesus did for us, it's already been done, hasn't it? This is why it's easy and not hard. But, as Jeff said, we make things hard because we want rules. You didn't know I was going to quote you again, did you? You know, folks, in closing today, I'd like to remind you of how Paul tells us of how we are chosen for heaven. You might want to pull up your bulletin because this is our epistle lesson today. And it's one of those things, when I read this, it made me think of this parable, which is why I talked about that. All right, so here we go. Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many, of whom I have often told you, and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame with minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. And therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm, thus in the Lord, my beloved. This is most certainly true. Amen.